This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Yes, I love you, Jesus, deep down in my heart. Everybody say deep down, down. Oh, to God be the glory. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, verses 4 through 15, and then the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verse 39 through 42. Let me do that again. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 15, and the Gospel according to John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42. And it reads, "And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria named Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, weary as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock.' Jesus said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water.'" And beginning with verse 39, "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world.'" Let us pray. God, our Creator and Sustainer, we come now in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. We come ready, God, to hear from heaven. We come ready to hear from you. So God, we ask right now you remove all disturbances, everything that will keep us from hearing what you are saying to us individually and collectively. Open our ears that we may hear, our minds that we may understand, our hearts that we might believe. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Have your way, God. Right now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject for today: take off the mask and go to work. Say it again. Take off the mask and go to work. We are still in our series on the third section of our mission statement of seeking God, shaping lives, serving the world. And we know what the whole part of it is seeking God through worship, shaping lives through teaching, and serving the world through mission and evangelism. We've been on that third part of serving the world. We've done a lot on mission. Now we're talking about evangelism. We've talked about the importance of evangelism, that we all should be doing the work God has called us to do, because we are the church. We have been saved for a purpose. God allowed us to come into his presence. We have come and we've given our life to him. However we've come, and we are saved. But we are saved for a purpose, not just saved to be saved, but we've been saved for a purpose. And that purpose is to do his will. Yes, his will is that none should perish. His will is that none should perish. You look at Matthew 22. He commands us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandment to give us. It's a great commandment, not the great suggestion. He tells us, commands us to love him. And the way we love him is by loving others. But not only does he give us a great commandment, he did give us a great commission. After he dies, gets up from the grave, he appears before the disciples and others. And there he is in Matthew 28. He tells us, go ye therefore and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. He said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So now we have the commandment to love, the commission to go. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he now empowers us. He says, you will receive power. He promised to send us power. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the utmost parts of the world, everywhere. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we will receive power for the purpose of being witnesses, for the purpose of working. And then we look at Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit comes to empower us to work, to do the work that he has called us to do. We have to work. We have a lot of work to do, my brothers and sisters. We have work to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this to us. As I talk about, we are the church. We are the church. But we understand this in Ephesians 2 and 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. Let me say that again. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yes, we are his workmanship, created to do good works. It's time to take off the mask and go to work. Let me say it again. It's time to take off the mask and go to work. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Take off the mask and go to work. You see it this morning. Listen. This coronavirus, this pandemic, has taught us many, many lessons. And we are still learning more day by day. It has taught us how to be safe from catching it, for the most part. Don't go anywhere. Shelter in. Stay home. Don't be around other people. Wash your hands regularly for at least 20 seconds with soap. And if you're going to be around other people, you need to socially distance yourself for at least 6 feet. And then it says to us, we ought to wear a mask. Yes, we ought to wear a mask. It has been proven wearing a mask when around others can significantly stop the spread of the coronavirus. Wearing a mask, let me say it again, wearing a mask around others can significantly stop the spread of COVID-19. Wearing a mask can significantly stop the spread of this terrible virus. My wearing a mask in your presence keep you from catching the virus if I have it. Your wearing a mask keep me from catching the virus if you have it. And you must wear a mask even if you're feeling fine and think you don't need one. Yeah. You could very well have the coronavirus and not know it. You could be spreading the virus to many others unknowingly because you refuse to wear a mask. The coronavirus is highly contagious. It is successfully highly contagious. COVID-19 is community-wide. It's city-wide. It's county-wide. It's state-wide. It's nationwide. It's worldwide. It's everywhere. But it can be, to some extent, it can be contained if we would just wear a mask. And it made me wonder, why is our faith not as contagious as a coronavirus? Why is it that there's not a worldwide pandemic of real Christian love? Why are not the people we're around catching what we have? Why can't they catch the love of Jesus? Why can't they get the fellowship? Why can't they catch everything that we have, those who love God? Why is it not as contagious as the coronavirus? Maybe, it's just because the masks we are wearing are keeping us from spreading the good news to a dying world. Seeing that we truly want our faith to be more contagious than COVID-19, let's look at how we can take off the mask and go to work to save a sin-sick world. First, looking at our passage scripture with John chapter 4, first point is this: take off the mask of having to do it your way. Or put it another way, be led by the Spirit of God. In chapter 4, verse 4, we find these words, ESV, Jesus was led to go through Samaria. NIV, he had to go through Samaria. King James Version says, he must needs go through Samaria. In other words, Jesus was compelled, he was led to go through Samaria. What are you saying to us, Pastor? I'm saying drop the mask of having to always do things your way. Let Jesus lead you. We have to be told by God, and we have been told by God, to be witnesses unto Judea, Samaria, unto the utmost parts of the world. He's already told us what it is we need to do. Let's be led by God. Haven't God told you time and time again that this is a person you ought to say something to, or this is the way you're a person you ought to be kind to, or this is something you ought to do, regardless of how they're treating you, regardless of what has happened to you? And he tells us that we need to be led by the Spirit of God, even in circumstances and situations where we may not feel like going that way. But yet, we need to go the way God tells us to go. Take off that mask of having to do it your way. Let Jesus lead you. The song says, he's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader. Let Jesus lead you all the way from earth to glory. Let Jesus lead you all the way. He led my mother all the way. He led my father all the way. Let Jesus lead you all the way. Isn't it interesting when we trace our Lord's movement in the Gospel according to John? His movement getting him to Samaria. Just take a look back at it a little later. In John chapter 2, Jesus was in Jerusalem. And then in John chapter 3, Jesus was in Judea. Now we get to John chapter 4, he's in Samaria. And toward the end of chapter 4, the Samaritan says he's Savior of the world. Can you see that? That's the same thing he told the disciples to do. He said, once you start in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the utmost parts of the world. I'm saying, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for our life. His plan is already in place. Just allow God to speak to you and then follow what he's telling you to do. Allow God to minister to you and then do what God would have you to do. The world is depending upon his church, and we are the church, and we have to let the Lord lead us. Secondly, take off the mask of pride. Quit acting like you're so much better than the person to whom you are led to witness. In other words, love everybody. Jesus, the Savior of the world, took time and took energy and all he had. He took time to care about one soul that was considered the lowest of the lowest. He met a Samaritan woman at the sixth hour, that's noontime. He met her at a well at noontime. This speaks volumes. I want you to hear this. See, understand this about who Jesus met with. It's a Samaritan woman. The Samaritans were considered to be unworthy by the Jews. They were a mixed race of people, and they were looked down upon by the Jews. They were, you could very much say they were hated by the Jews. And that's why when the Jews traveled, when they were going from Galilee, Jerusalem, whatever they were going, they would actually go around Samaria. They would take the long way. They would take the bypass instead of going through Samaria because of their disdain for the Samaritan. But verse 4 shows us that Jesus, he had to go. He was led to go through Samaria. And now he's weary, and he gets to a well, and while he's there, he sees a Samaritan woman. She is a Samaritan, one of the despised. But not only that, she's a woman. Second, she's a woman. Women were considered second-class citizens, or maybe even third-class citizens. For the most part, they were even treated worse than U.S. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, they were treated worse than she was treated on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. Women were considered the lowest of the low. But this woman, not only was she a Samaritan, not only was she a woman, but there's some evidence to show that she must not or may not have even been liked by the other Samaritan women. Wow, it's bad enough to be on the low, but the folk who are on the low with you don't like you. Pastor, why you say that the other women didn't like her? Well, you hear some other things that happen in her life, but one of the reasons we know the others didn't like her because she's at the well at noontime when the sun is highest, when it's hot. Everybody else came earlier, and it shows that either they didn't want to be around her or she didn't want to be around them. So here she is, the low of the low. She's a Samaritan, she's a woman, and she's hated by the other Samaritan women. And she is there at the well. But Jesus still met her. Y'all got to hear me. Jesus still met her. He wasn't so prideful, even though he's the King of Kings. He didn't say, well, I can't talk to you because I'm the Lord of Lords. He didn't say, I have nothing to do with you because I'm the Savior of the world. I got it all together. I am who I am. You don't know who I am. I am. He said, I'm the real I am. I am before there anything was. I said, let there be, and it was. But he didn't say anything. He's sitting at the well. And he engages the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. That's a lesson for you and for me. Don't count anybody out. Jesus wanted to do what he wants us to do. He did not see her as one beyond the grace of God. But that grace of God is for us all. We all have sinned and have come short. And the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Thank God for grace. Thirdly, take off the mask of spiritual superiority. In other words, when you see folk, talk about what you both know something about. Yeah, talk about things that you both know. You know, don't imitate and intimidate. Don't intimidate people because you've been to Sunday school two times and you prayed once in public. Don't get all excited because you may have grown up in the church and this person might have only been by a church building. No, don't do that. Do what Jesus did. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus met a woman at the well. So what did they talk about? What did Jesus talk about? He met a woman at the well. So what did he talk about? I'm pausing right there and let you think about it. I'm sure you're saying, well, you know, being Jesus, he must have got one of the big scrolls and started saying, you know, thou shall not. No. Jesus met a woman at the well. Oh, if you don't do right, you're going to go to hell. No, Jesus met a woman at the well. And what did he talk about? Water. He met a woman at the well and talked about water. Something she had to know about because she was at a well to get water. Wow. And all he said to her was, give me a drink. Give me something to drink. And she went on, well, how are you going to say give me something to drink? And she went through the whole history. You know, you a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You know, the Jews have no dealing with Samaritan and all that. He said, if you knew who was asking you to give you something to drink, yeah, you would give it to him, and he could give you living water. And when he talked about this living water, see, he talked about water. He talked about living water. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. No. They were talking about water. He said, I can give you living water where you never thirst again. That had her attention. I know what you're asking me, Pastor. We don't have wells. I can't go nowhere and talk to somebody about some water. We can't even go to the water fountain at the work anymore. Because you know, we gotta be socially distant. What am I gonna talk about? What am I gonna talk to somebody about? I'm glad you asked, huh? And Dick McGuire went to look for a well for this sermon. He said, Pastor, I can't find a well. So we can't find a well and have for find a well. So what are we gonna talk about? I'm so glad you asked. Woo! What are we gonna talk about? I'm glad you asked. Let's talk about something that's in the news. Let's talk about something that's affecting our way of life. Let's talk about something that we see the effects of it every day and we can't get around it. Even if you don't want to talk about it, all you have to do is get outside of your walls and look at somebody walking down the street. I'm sorry. Look at somebody with sense walking down the street, and then you will know that they're wearing something on their face because we're in a pandemic. So since that's what we see, that's what we have all around us, why not talk about COVID-19? Talk about how it's affecting our everyday of life, how we move about. Talk about how it's affecting you, how it's affecting others. Find out how it's affecting them. Begin to understand. Talk about how not to catch it, how to stay healthy. Talk about how we ought to wear masks. Yes, talk about how we ought to have a mask. Talk about how we ought to be making sure that we're socially distant. Talk about how we ought to be able to get together. Talk about how we can reach out to each other without physically being in each other's presence. Talk about COVID-19. That's a great thing to talk about. Talk about it. Why we don't wear masks. But don't just stop there. You can also talk about how so many people have gotten very sick. And then you can talk about how so many people have died and are dying. And you can talk about how so many more people are projected to die. Yes, you can do that. But Pastor, that sounds so morbid. No, it's not morbid. It's where we live. And it's something everybody is familiar with. But don't stop there. Take off your mask and go to work. I don't mean this mask. I mean take off that spiritual mask. Take off that mask, the thing that's holding you down and keeping you from letting people know that Jesus is real. Take off whatever it is that keep you from saying to folk, I know God loves you because God loves me. Tell them that one day we all will have to leave here. But that's not how the story ends. Get to work and tell them, like the woman at Samaria told him, when Jesus told her about herself, and he said, go and tell your husband. She said, you know, I have no husband. He said, no, I know. You have five, and the one you're with now is not yours. He didn't look down on her. He just gave her a fact about her life. And since everybody else despised her, everybody else had nothing really to do with her, look at what the Bible says. She was so excited when she met Jesus. I said, she was so excited when she met Jesus. Nobody would be able to hold her back. She went to the city and said, come see a man. She said, come and see Jesus.
Come and meet the one who told me all about myself. Come meet the one that knows about me. Come meet the one who has been prophesied to come. Come meet the Christ, the anointed one. And the Bible says that they came out of the city and they went to meet Jesus. Woo! Because of her testimony. I know somebody said, well, I'm not worthy enough. Oh, yes, you are. God can use you to tell folk in your family and folk who are not in your family and your friends, brothers, others who you communicate with. He can use you. You can be the man that God has called you to be. He has equipped you to tell someone, come see Jesus. Come see the one that loves you in spite of you. Come see the one who loves me in spite of me. Come see the one who will do marvelous things. Come see the one, because we all like sheep have gone astray. I've sinned, I've come short. You sin, you come short. But God loves you. He loves you in spite of what we've done, in spite of how you've done it. He still loves you. He cares for you. And that's the message we got to take everywhere we go. Don't be masked in such a way that the gospel can't go any further than your face. The gospel needs to go anywhere you're going, to Judea, to Samaria, and the utmost parts of the world. We're on the World Wide Web right now. You got to share this with somebody else so they will know how much God loves them. They will know how much God cares for them. They will know that God has made a way out of no way. They will know that even though we messed up, even though we sinned, that Jesus came through 42 generations and he came to this earth. What about doing good? Out of all the good he did, folk talked about him and ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. But my brothers and sisters, the story doesn't stop there. He went through the talking. He went through the people scandalizing his name. He did all he could do to help them while he walked and lived on this earth. But he knew that he had even a greater calling. He had to do something so you and I would have a right to eternal life. Look at what he did. He allowed men to whip him all night long, took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Can you see our Lord and Savior? When they washed him up to Golgotha's hill, they put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head, and on the cross for your sins and my sins. The Bible says he died. I say it again, he died. He died for you and for me. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I thank God for the blood. I thank God for the salvation that was made for you and for me. And they placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. He stayed there all day Saturday. He stayed there all night Saturday night. But early, I say early, on Sunday morning, he got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death. He ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit, to live in us, to guide us, to direct us, and to help us to tell it everywhere we go that God loves us so much, that Jesus loves us so much. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. Oh yes, whatever is prohibiting you from being contagious with the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere you go, you put it aside and spread his word everywhere you go. Put it aside. The world needs Jesus. The world needs his church. We are his church, and we have to tell it everywhere we go how great and how wonderful God is, and that we will leave this place, but we got another house, another home. Yeah, not made by hands, eternal in heaven. We can rejoice when our loved ones are gone from here to everlasting life, especially when we know they've come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have any family, if you have any friends, if you have anybody you know, and they don't know Jesus, now is the time for you to contact them. Text them, call them, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, message to them, whatever you need to do to let them know. The simple word, God loves you. Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave, and then allow God to transform their lives. We have a message. Come to Jesus. Get ready. Come to him because he loves you and he cares for you. If you're watching on today and you realize right now you need the Lord in your life, I'm going to pray a prayer with you. that right now you can accept Christ right where you are. You don't have to do anything else, go to a place else. Just take time right to meditate on this moment and say, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need to change the way I'm going, the way I'm thinking. I need you, God, to direct me, to guide me, to strengthen me. I need you in my situations in life. God allows us to be in crisis. He allows us to go through the hard times, the difficult times, but he still will give us joy in the midst of it. He still will give us peace. So if you'll take time right now, if you want to accept Christ, to pray this prayer with me, if you want the Lord in your life, just say these words with me. Now in this prayer, I'm going to talk about what comes in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God is raising him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. That's incorporated in this prayer, so let us pray. Father, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.